Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, your 10 minutes of news where I simply tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. I am back from a whirlwind run of assignments and work travel, including the Final Four, where I got to meet a whole bunch of our CNN 10 fam. Oh! How you feel about those Wolverines? And let me just say, you are the real MVPs. You make this show what it is. Now, let's get you your news. We start with an update on the Strait of Hormuz, a narrow stretch of water with massive global impact. And right now, it's at the center of tensions involving the United States and Israel's war with Iran. On Monday morning, the United States military began enforcing a blockade of Iranian ports along the strait, a move that will further disrupt the global flow of oil and one already sending gas prices in the U.S. ticking upward again. U.S. President Donald Trump announced the blockade after weekend peace talks with Iran in Pakistan failed to produce a breakthrough. The strait typically handles about 20% of the world's daily oil shipments. That's about one of every five barrels. And Iran controls the key waterway at its narrowest point. After restricting access early in the conflict, Iran had allowed some tankers through in recent weeks, reportedly charging tolls as high as $2 million per ship. Now, the U.S. blockade appears to be aimed at cutting off that revenue stream for Iran's government and military. The Iranian Revolutionary Guard Corps has vowed retaliation, and world leaders warn this situation could spur greater instability in the region.
The ongoing closure of the Strait of Hormuz is greatly damaging, and the restoration of the freedom of navigation is of paramount importance for us.
The region remains on edge. And a lot of work is required to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, to de-escalate the situation, leading to a sustainable ceasefire.
The Artemis II crew is back, safe and sound after traveling deeper into space than any humans in history, more than 252,000 miles from Earth around the moon. For perspective, the International Space Station is approximately 250 miles from Earth. The mission is delivering critical research on how deep space affects the human body, data that could help pave the way for future missions to the moon and one day, perhaps Mars. Before launch, we asked you for your biggest questions about the mission, and our Dr. Sanjay Gupta is here with answers on everything from catching Z's in zero G to how astronauts stay hydrated when down doesn't exist.
So many questions coming in about Artemis II. I spent a lot of time with the NASA doctors over the years. I find this to be a topic of endless fascination. Just the granular detail, all the planning they have to do for a mission like this from a health perspective. And certainly sleep is a big part of this. And we got this question from a grandma in Canada who says she's writing in on behalf of her 7-year-old grandson, Cammy, wondering about sleep bedtimes. Is there a schedule and do they feel rested? I love that a 7-year-old's writing in with questions as well. So first of all, yeah, sleep is a huge part of the planning that goes into a mission like this. And they really want these astronauts to get 8 hours of sleep. We have these images of what the capsule looks like. It's a really small space. These sleeping bags that you see there, they're attached to the wall. Obviously, they're in a microgravity environment. So they're floating, but they do keep the sleeping bags attached to the wall. You have noise, light, vibration, circadian rhythms, all these things that interfere with sleep. And the first particular night of the mission, they had to basically break up the sleep into two separate chunks because they had to wake up for some mission critical activities, including firing the rockets toward the moon. I got another question. This one's from Brenda in New Jersey. He writes, since water is heavy, I wonder how they get this essential nutrient up there with them. How do they continue to keep up with their daily intake amount to avoid dehydration? This is one of the most challenging things because water is heavy. They're sending up four tanks that are 125 pounds each. And take a look at these images here. You have these lines then from those tanks to basically a dispenser, which sits inside the capsule. They use this to get drinking water, but also to rehydrate their food. Much of the food goes up freeze-dried in order to save space. And then they rehydrate it when they're back up there on the capsule. And I think we got one more question. This is from Nosa in Texas and is saying, hey, can you explain more on the hot sauce? This is, again, a really fascinating thing. They send up five different types of hot sauces. And just consider that for a second. Sophisticated mission, limited space, they send hot sauce. And part of the reason why is they know in a microgravity environment, fluid shifts start to affect all these different parts of your body. They affect your face, you get puffy, they affect your vision, but they also affect your taste buds and your sinuses. So your taste buds make it harder to taste, but also you feel congested, harder to smell. 80% of taste comes from smell. They need to eat, these astronauts, and one of the ways that they actually can help with that is to provide these different hot sauces. So that's where the hot sauces come from. I will point out, I think we have some video of this. Back in 2023, this particular crew did taste testing at NASA 3 years ago, picking foods that they like, picking foods that they would like to send up. That's the level of meticulous planning that goes into something like this.
Pop quiz, hot shot. Which ocean is home to the world's largest floating garbage patch? Pacific, Atlantic, Indian, or Southern? If you said Pacific, you sure know your stuff. The Great Pacific Garbage Patch is located in the ocean's northern region and contains roughly 1.8 trillion pieces of plastic waste, spanning an area nearly three times bigger than France. Almost 200 tons of plastic and debris are found in the Hawaiian waters of the Pacific Ocean. Researchers from Hawaiian Pacific University say plastic pollution in Hawaii is greater than any other U.S. state. So they started experimenting with how they could turn trash into treasure, using that harmful plastic waste to fix their local roads.
And what I can say, by driving on that road, it's holding up great. It feels like a normal, fairly new asphalt road without major cracks, no potholes.
The project began in 2022, and researchers say early results are promising, but they're still testing to make sure those recycled plastic-infused roads aren't releasing harmful chemicals. What do air traffic controllers and video game controllers have in common? Turns out quite a bit. The Federal Aviation Administration is facing a nationwide shortage of air traffic controllers, and they're looking to gamers to help fill the gap. Our Alexandra Scores has more on the campaign aimed at those with quick decision-making, spatial awareness, and multitasking skills to help them level up their careers. Hi, Alexandra.
Hi, Koi. Just like air traffic controllers, the DOT says video gamers think quickly and stay focused, the kind of traits an air traffic controller needs to keep the skies safe. This hiring push comes after several situations have left air traffic control with an ongoing shortage that has lasted for years. Currently, the FAA says it has 11,000 controllers working and 4,000 trainees in the pipeline. But after the pandemic several years ago, last year's government shutdown, and other factors, many controllers choose to leave the profession altogether during times of instability. For now, gamers are encouraged to level up their career, as the campaign says, and begin applying on April 17th. After 8,000 applications are received by the FAA, the hiring window will close. Training will start after potential candidates have fulfilled all the requirements needed. Since the push began for more people, the DOT has hired 2,400 new controllers. This all comes as the FAA is trying to replace the decades-old air traffic control system, where floppy disks and paper strips are still used in facilities today.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10, the NHL's Utah Mammoth unveiling what just may be the coolest ride in sports. Meet Zammoth, the woolly mammoth-shaped Zamboni, complete with glowing eyes, massive tusks, enough style to make the Ice Age jealous. At the Delta Center in Salt Lake City is this prehistoric-inspired ice cleaning machine that's built from a real piece of history, the Zamboni used at the 2002 Winter Olympics. And here's the icing on the rink. Up to 8 fans at a time can ride it while it smooths out the ice mid-game. The team mascot Tusky took the very first spin, and it is clear this team is trunking in the right direction. Utah recently clinched its first ever Stanley Cup playoff berth. We have some mammoth-sized shout-outs today. Our first one goes to Mrs. Crancer, Mrs. Stanley, and Mr. Van Ginkles at Bridges Community Day School in San Juan Capistrano, California. Thank you for subscribing and commenting on our CNN 10 YouTube channel. And I have a shout out going to Miss Johnson and crew at Nashwauk Keewatin Schools in Nashwauk, Minnesota. You have sent me all this incredible artwork. This is profound stuff. Thank you so much. A whole gallery for us for your boy. Really appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your creativity and your love for the show. Tomorrow's Your Word Wednesday. So submit those unique vocabulary words and the definition in the comment section of our latest post on Instagram at CNN10 at Coy Wire. And we will choose one winner to work into tomorrow's show. Bring it. Hope you have an awesome day. Go make someone smile. I'm Coy Wire and we are CNN 10.